Sounds good. From our studios in beautiful North Florida, celebrating 2 years of color commentary, it's In Black and White. And now your host, the baby-faced assassin of freedom, Jerry Brooks.
We give it a few minutes to clear this area. The points of egress are High Street or Wall Street. No one will stop you from leaving. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. We will give you time to leave. If you do not leave, you will be arrested.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots of all ages, welcome to In Black and Right, the new definition of color commentary. And yes, I am the baby-faced assassin of freedom, Jerry Brooks, as well as your tour guide through the continuing devolving wacky world of Joe Biden's America. And just starting out that little clip as our cold open today, that was yesterday in New Haven, Connecticut, on the campus of Yale, where the New Haven Police Department was giving warning to the protesters that had started camping there on the campus, either leave or get arrested. But in comparison to what's been going on in New York, at Columbia University, and the riots and protests that erupted last night also at NYU, oh boy. Yeah, and I'll get into that, and I have my own sort of observations and thoughts on that. But before getting really into today's adventure in podcasting, just letting you know that subscribe, like us, follow us on social media. The podcast you can find on any podcasting platform, big, small, or in between. Just look for In Black and Right or my name, Jerry Brooks. And just like us, follow us, subscribe, and get notified. Click the little bell, and you'll be notified every time a new episode gets downloaded, or should I say uploaded. Also, you can send us email with comments and questions, whatever you might have, at inblackandright@gmail.com, or check out our website, inblackandright.net. Okay, let's get into this, because this is now getting officially to the point of redonkulous. Now, of course, the big news yesterday were the protests that were going on several campuses around the country, starting out in New York, of all places. And it really blew my mind. Because I'm thinking about this over the news over the last, say, couple of weeks. There was the 4.8 magnitude earthquake that hit New York and New Jersey in the tri-state area. A couple of days before the earthquake was a huge storm that hit New York, where a lightning strike hit the torch of the Statue of Liberty. And I got the picture of that. And it was scary. Of course, now you have the kangaroo court called the Trump Hush Money Trial, which is improperly named to begin with. But hey, remember, we are dealing with the Satan-serving media who will never get anything right, even if, you know, it'll help them because of their Trump derangement syndrome and the fact, well, they're just, well, serious pieces of crap. But this whole thing with, and the timing of it, I mean, the whole thing at Columbia and at Yale, NYU, last night was the beginning of Passover, one of the great and high holy days of the Jewish faith. And I just found it nothing short of disgusting. I mean, absolutely disgusting. And frankly, I warned people. I warned people about this. And I feel like I want to go and I told you so, Rush Limbaugh style. But it's sad because war has broken out. And I'm not talking about Israel and Hamas. This is cultural, and it's happening on American soil. We've got the attacks on Christians, evangelicals, that's big time, and help with the help of Merrick Garland and the Biden Injustice Department. You've got pro-life Catholics under assault from the FBI and the same Department of Injustice. And now, full-blown, full-on assault of Jewish folks. Jews. Right now in the season of Passover. And it's really sad. Because over in Israel right now, in the Passover season, it's very solemn over there. You have some 130 or so Israelis still being held hostage by Hamas. And there's no guarantee that these people are even alive. Because remember, you're dealing with animals. Demonized, Satan-infused animals. Yes, and why am I talking like that? Because you don't do October 7th unless you're basically straight up evil. And what these ding-dongs, these stupid kids on these campuses, these elite schools. I mean, I'm looking at a story right now about all of this spreading like a disease. And these schools, some of the most known colleges, elite schools, Columbia started it. Then you had NYU, you had Yale, Harvard University, New York University, MIT, Cal Poly, Tufts University, Emerson College, the New School in New York, the University of Michigan, which has the largest Muslim Arab population in the country. You have the University of Maryland. And what broke my heart, also, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Shame on you, my Tar Heels. Shame on you, you sick puppies. University of Southern California, where my nephew and his wife graduated from, Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, of all places, a red state, and Washington University in St. Louis, and it's spreading. Tent cities being formed. Tent cities. I mean, I also have to ask myself the question, where are these people getting all this stuff? Tent cities, where are they getting the tents? Where are they getting the camping stuff? I don't know. I mean, it's not exactly a stretch to say that there are way out in left field groups that are supplying the money. Left-wing millionaires and billionaires going after, you know, who are supplying the money, who are supplying the logistical things. I mean, even though there have been reports, though as of yet unconfirmed, they haven't been confirmed as of yet, but apparently they're finding bricks, little piles of bricks in strategically located places. Now, they're saying that, oh, this is like for construction. I said, wait a minute. We had this same thing going on the summer of love in 2020 after the whole George Floyd mess. BLM, Antifa, using them as weapons to destroy businesses, private property, public property, government buildings. Oh, my gosh. Please, people, this is just sick. And I keep thinking also, New York, a lot of this is going on in New York, or it's starting in New York. And I can't help, excuse me, but wonder. I keep thinking about the scripture and end time scripture. When the disciples asked Jesus, what is the sign of your coming? Well, this definitely qualifies just full on assault of Jewish students at these colleges. It's not safe for them. Now, Columbia, for the sake of, you know, trying to protect Jewish students, I mean, they essentially said, hey, stay home, take your classes online, because we cannot guarantee your safety. Holy crap, folks. This is sad. And yet, this nonsense that has been on American campuses for decades, not just a few years, but decades, this goes back all the way to the free speech movement back in the 1960s. You know, when, you know, you talk about free speech and tolerance, it's like, it's out the window, folks. It has gone the way of the dinosaur. And it's really sad where rabbis in New York, local rabbis, have been encouraging Jewish students to get the heck out of there. Get out of your dorms, don't go to classes. And that's sad because in many respects, this is absolutely no different than 1930s Germany. When Hitler, the Third Reich, came to power before World War II and even during, where Christians, but mostly Jews, were just targeted. They were scapegoats. And now, with what happened on October 7th over in Israel, and the Biden regime essentially trying to meddle with the internal security of the Israeli government, Bibi Netanyahu has said and made it quite clear, you get rid of Hamas unless you don't want peace, because they want a chance for peace. And they've been through it ever since modern Israel came into existence in 1948. I sit here and I just scratch my head or just shake my head wondering, what is this? Why now? Okay? I often tell people, look at the timing of certain things and you'll learn a lot more about the why. Excuse me. And yet, the seeds that have been sown of division, of anti-Semitism, anti-Judeo-Christian values, have now come home to roost. We are reaping what has been sown by neo-Marxists and communists and socialists or whatever. And now, boom, here we are. Campuses of elite universities under siege by these pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protests. And who's to say that all of these people are college kids? I mean, there are professional paid rabble-rousers who are paid to stir up the pot. And yet, you've got police forces, New York City, in New Haven, Connecticut, at Yale, and others who are in harm's way, because you're not dealing with people who want to dialogue. Forget using reason, okay? Just forget it. But just to let you know how some in the Jewish community feel, well, no better excuse me, person than Professor Alan Dershowitz, who was on Sean Hannity's program last night talking about this very situation at Columbia and NYU. So, Professor Dershowitz, hit it.
Hi, completely agree with you 100%. It was absolutely outrageous for President Biden to create a moral equivalent, the same kind of moral equivalence he complained about in Charlottesville, between anti-Semitic protests, which he condemns, and then he says, I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. What an outrageous moral comparison. Nobody could in any way support what Hamas did, yet these kids are yelling, I am Hamas. We want to repeat the rapes over and over again, 1,000 times, and he is equating that morally with people who reasonably believe that what's happening to the Palestinians is largely the fault of Hamas. It's absolutely outrageous, which is why I wrote a column today arguing that what is happening on college campuses today may be worse than what happened on January 6th, may be worse than what happened in Charlottesville, and we are not concerned nearly as much about it as we were about January 6th. January 6th involved a relatively small number of people, low thousands. They aren't people who are going to be our future leaders. Charlottesville didn't involve our future leaders. What's going on college campuses today, we are Hamas, means our future leaders, the people who will be in the editorial rooms of the New York Times, on CNN, in Goldman Sachs, in law firms, running for Congress. That's why it's more dangerous what's going on today. And thank you, Bob Kraft, for cutting off all your aid to Columbia. I've done the same, I don't have your money, with Harvard, with Yale. Nobody should contribute to these Ivy League cesspools, which have become incubators for the worst form of anti-Jewish racism that I've known in my 85 years of life. This is a scary time. Yes, it is in some ways like 1933 in Germany, but in other ways it's not, because the Jews have Israel to defend it. And as long as the Jews have Israel, and Israel has weapons, including nuclear weapons, we won't see a repeat of 1941 and 1942. But we will see a repeat of 1933 and 34, where college students at the University of Munich and at the University of Berlin brought Hitler to power, brought Pol Pot to power, brought Castro to power. Young 23-year-olds can be among the most evil and dangerous people in the world, and we're seeing it happening at Columbia and NYU and Yale today. Shame on the presidents who have facilitated and allowed this kind of bigotry to occur at our universities.
Okay. Professor Dershowitz, don't hold back, sir. Tell me how you really feel. He is absolutely straight up right. Absolutely he is. And I'll tell you, I could not agree more with Professor Dershowitz, even though he's a Democrat. He is someone who is not a fan of MAGA, not a fan of Trump, but he is one of the last honest civil libertarians out there, and I respect him for that. Now, of course, leftists, the loony left, are, you know, they turn on him like sharks with blood in the water, or a bunch of rabid wolves. So no, this is just insane. It is bigotry. It is okay. Not like, and he's right. It's not like January 6th. It's not. Now, of course, the left will keep screaming January 6th from now until the second coming. Oh, it's terrible, and these insurrectionists. Oh, mercy. I mean, this just, I'm not exactly sure how to respond to that. Oh, wait, yeah, okay. I'd like to do essentially this, because somebody needs to have some serious sense slapped into them, because this is just twisted and stupid. And Dershowitz is right on point on every single point he made. Now, he did mention Bob Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots. And he also was on Fox News, I believe, last night, talking about this. And about him withdrawing his support for Columbia and others, but other schools. So I want to get a little bit of Bob Kraft into this as well.
When I went to Columbia, it was a place where people listened, were empathetic, had compassion. And now, you know, we have professors who, instead of teaching how to think, that they're trying to tell our young people what they should think. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have to do something about is really tenure in these universities, where people can do things and don't have accountability.
Yep, that certainly is one thing, Mr. Kraft. But considering, I mean, as an alumnus of Columbia, sir, and the money that you have contributed over the years, and other wealthy individuals like yourself who have done this on to Ivy League schools, these elite schools, it kind of gets it. I don't think Mr. Kraft is understanding. Yes, you did take away your support, which is a start. Not an end, but it is a start. Because you have to take your leverage and use it to not just, you know, teach them some sort of a lesson, but to use it to change the culture that has existed at these schools for decades. And now their true colors are showing, and they're ugly. They are just plain, straight up ugly. And I'll tell you, now I know for my Christian friends, God bless you guys, I love y'all, I do, but I'll tell you, for those who I continue to run into, who are good people, they are responsible people, they're law-abiding people, but when they tell me they don't watch the news, part of me is sad, because it's not a question of not watching the news or watching the news. It's what kind of news? What are you a consumer of? What are you looking at? What kind of news you're getting? The outlet. Now, the Satan-serving mainstream media, you know, I only look at them, and Fox is somewhat included in this, that finds, you know, finding good stories. And the only reason I even include anything from the mainstream media is to illustrate certain points. I have my list of news that I listen to and I watch and I read online, and I do that, and I try to stay informed for all of you, our viewers and listeners, and I'm grateful for that. I really am. But it's not going to end up being a situation where you can reason your way out of, because you can't reason with these people. The late, great Andrew Breitbart said it best when he said that politics is downstream from culture. And for those who are not understanding or are even apathetic towards things political, okay, fine. If you're not going to be dealing with the politics and you won't take it on, take on the culture. Look at the culture we've got. It is classic divide and conquer. And you're taking these alliances, these disparate groups, BLM, Antifa, Now you got the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian crowd, the LGBT crowd, minorities who haven't seen the light as of yet and are still under the influence of the Democrat Sith, these groups that are marginalized, they are disenfranchised, they're this, they're that. It's essentially, it's victims. A disparate coalition of victim groups coming together under the umbrella of the Democrat Party. They don't like Trump, they don't like MAGA, they don't like Trump supporters. But the problem is, and this is an assumption that Biden and his crew need to really realize, it's not automatic. Given, hence, RFK Jr., who is getting on more and more ballots in certain very key states like Michigan. And this does not make Biden and his campaign happy, because they might not vote for Trump, but they're not necessarily going to go and vote for Biden either. So, yeah, that's part of the problem. But in this case, specifically, dealing with the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protests on college campuses, this is what they say in the movie business, a preview of coming attractions. Absolutely. They might be mad at Biden. They may not necessarily vote for Biden, but I guarantee you right now, Democrats all over the country, in the House of Representatives, in Congress, are they're essentially laying traps for President Trump should he pretty much, well, kick butt and win in a landslide. But they are going to make his second term, if you thought the first term was bad, the second term will essentially be hell on earth. They are going to unleash hell like you wouldn't believe. With BLM, with Antifa, the over 10 to 15 million illegal immigrants that have come into this country, they are going to make Trump's life hell. That's what they want to do. And this is also connected to a story that I wanted to get into today, where President Trump, just yesterday, was doing an interview with John Fredericks, a very nice gentleman. I've met him on a couple of occasions. Does a show called Outside the Beltway on Real America's Voice. And last night, he was during the 6 o'clock hour, which is usually reserved for John Solomon's program, Just the News. John Fredericks spoke on the phone with President Trump, and one of the key issues that John Fredericks asked was the whole situation with Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson, given what happened last weekend with the passage of this Ukraine funding bill that had more Democrat support than Republican support, and led to the disgusting display of Democrats waving the Ukrainian flag on the floor of the U.S. House, which is a bit of a side issue. But President Trump was asked about his relationship with Speaker Johnson and the fact that you still have conservatives that want to oust him and vacate the speaker, just like they did McCarthy, but it's a different situation. But this is the question that John Fredericks asked last night of President Trump.
You're standing with him, and you've stood with him firmly. How do you square this divide now between MAGA and Mike Johnson with your support of him and our base?
Well, look, we have a majority of one, okay? It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants to do. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me on the NATO when I said that NATO has to pay up, and they have to pay up soon and fast. And he has stood strongly on that. He agrees with that. He also got some of the money in the form of a loan, quite a bit of the money in the form of a loan. And he, you know, felt on that. But it's a tough situation when you have one. I think he's a very good man. I think he's trying very hard. And again, we've got to have a big election. We've got to elect some people in Congress, much more than we have right now. And we have to elect some good senators, get rid of some of the ones we have now, like Romney and others. And we have to have a big day, and we have to win the presidency. If we don't win the presidency, our country, I'm telling you, I think our country could be finished. The country has never been, you know, I say we're just a country in decline. We are absolutely a country in decline, and we have to be able to, we have to be able to bring our country back. We have to close up our borders, let people come into our country, but they have to come in legally.
Yep. Now, that's interesting, because yes, MAGA is pissed at Mike Johnson. Absolutely ticked off. But yes, now as much as I don't like Johnson, because of he's really nothing more to me than a wolf in sheep's clothing. He wants to be Mr. Oh, I'm a Christian, I have a biblical worldview. Well, that's fine, but where's it been, Mike? Where's it been, Mr. Speaker? I don't know. Sorry, but I am absolutely disgusted, like millions of other Americans are disgusted. Now, yes, you had over 120 Republicans who voted against the funding, including my congressman, which I'm very grateful for, but you still had over 100 who voted for it. Which now makes me ask the question, what up? What is going on here? Now, I understand the danger. I'm trying to take both sides of this and try to find something in the middle. Now, I understand people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massey, Paul Gosar of Arizona, who want to file a motion to vacate because they're sick and tired of their constituents getting screwed. And I'm tired of it too, because what is Ukraine going to do with $61 more billion that they haven't screwed up already? Now, today, Tuesday, apparently the Senate is looking to take up the bill, as far, and I'm sure they're going to pass it if it's going to be on a straight party line vote. But, oh my gosh, people, you know, I'm trying to find the balance here. As much as I'm disgusted with Speaker Johnson and the rest of his cronies with this, and when the mainstream media gets all dreamy-eyed and slobbering all over Johnson, a Republican, for his Churchill moment, quote-unquote, which frankly disgusts me as someone who has actually studied the life of Winston Churchill and his leadership style and the things he went through during World War II. I think it's disgusting. I mean, it's a slap in the face to Churchill and to his legacy. But again, side issue. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I'm finding it very difficult, because President Trump also makes a good point. We only have a one vote majority, and there are still the remaining seats that have been vacated that are going to be filled in for the remainder of the year. And that includes even Kevin McCarthy's seat in a special election in California. So the thought of a Speaker Hakeem Jeffries absolutely scares me white. I mean, like the blood totally draining out of my face. Oh my gosh, that would be totally scary because that man could do so much damage in 6 months. Holy cow, I don't even want to think about it. But to keep Mike Johnson in there, who has time and time again betrayed the Republican conference, betrayed the Republican Party, and for every single grassroots Republican voter who helped some of these knuckleheads who voted for the money, you know, yard signs, $25, $50 donations to their campaigns, phone banking, and for what? To do this? No thanks. Just no thanks. I'm not into it. I'm not happy about it. And frankly, neither should anybody else, because we have real problems. I mean, has Mike Johnson completely disconnected from the American people who are still having problems with keeping a roof over their heads, paying for food, paying for gas, which has gone up, for housing, for utilities? Hello, inflation is still here. The Federal Reserve isn't going to be making any rate cuts. They thought they would, but it's not. So anybody who tries to tell you that, you know, the economy's okay are either lying through their teeth or they're on some serious drugs. Because nobody that I know is okay with spending more at the grocery store, more at the gas pump, more for everything, energy and housing and everything else. The housing market's a mess. Commercial real estate is a mess. Investments are a mess. I mean, my goodness, just because, you know, I mean, Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank, and Grant Cardone and other business investors, they're not putting their money in New York because they know it's turning into a toxic hellhole for business. The regulations, the taxations, and frankly, now the litigation. If they can do this to Trump, a compromised judge and a corrupt to the core district attorney, you know, what? Who's next? And I think their questions are valid. That's why they're getting the heck out of New York. Small businesses and everything else. So I don't know. I truly do not know what the heck is going on. But I'll tell you, before this gets better, it's going to get nuttier. And I hate to say that because I want to be optimistic. But get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Because we haven't even begun to see this thing deteriorate into a full-blown dumpster fire. It's coming. It is coming. We've got the party conventions in Milwaukee and in Chicago. And I'm really concerned that the Democrat convention in Chicago might bring back shades of 1968, because Black folks are mad. They are absolutely mad. And who knows what's going to happen? Okay? Who knows? And that's kind of a to-be-determined type of question. But for now, my friends, I'm going to call it a day today. Thank you so much for listening. Again, I encourage you, find us on your favorite podcasting platform. We're on all of them. Subscribe, like us, follow us. We're on social media as well. And check out our website. And until tomorrow, God bless you guys. Love y'all. Take care of yourselves. And remember, as always, patriots come in all colors.